The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where, then, can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place of worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still, no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Jesus had many options in terms of routes he could have chosen to return from Judea to Galilee. He chooses to go through the Samaritan region. And the reason being is because Jesus has the bigger picture in mind. He is fully aware of this woman's need as well as her countrymen's need. We know he's obviously aware of her plight. As we are told, he's tired from the journey, primarily because he spent all night before answering the questions of Nicodemus, who just couldn't get it, and wasn't really open to what Jesus was trying to tell him about being generated anew by water and the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom. So he's there at the well, tired, so tired, in fact, that he dispenses with the protocols of the time. He's fully aware that men don't speak to women in public, especially a Samaritan and a Jew. But his fatigue does not stop, it does not obstruct the love that is overflowing in his heart for this woman as he asks her for a drink. The woman, obviously, at this stage, as she's at this well about noon, the gospel says that was not the hour that women went to the well. They would go in the cool of the morning or as the sun was setting at the evening time, a cooler hour. So it became apparent this woman was avoiding her peers. And Jesus very much aware of her. In fact, of all of the record of the gospels, there is no other place in the gospel where Jesus more profoundly and beautifully discloses his identity and his mission as he does in dialogue with this woman. Why? Why would Jesus disclose so much to someone so insignificant? Because for Jesus, she wasn't insignificant. She was very special. And he wasn't engaging this woman so much because he wanted something from her as much as he wanted something for her. He's at the well. If you know the record of salvation history, water wells were quite significant, particularly in relationship with men and women, when it comes to taking one's hand in marriage. Jacob met his wife Rachel at the well. Hence the woman's reference. Are you greater than our father Jacob? Of course he is. He is the inheritor of the entire kingdom, Jesus. And yet he never uses his authority, his power, to oppress or to abuse anyone. Rather, what is he doing? He's using this opportunity, as he always does, to amplify his love for the world. Without exception, this woman is under no pretense. Her life, her journey has been such that she has no sense of self, of being self-righteous. She has no delusions. She's broken down. And yet, possibly, as she's looking, she's still looking for direction, for answers in her life. Maybe she's given up on that possibility ever being met, but yet, here she is. And Jesus draws out from her, "What is it you're looking for? What are you truly desiring?" And when he makes reference to living water, "Oh, give me this water." Why? Because this woman wasn't just thirsty at this moment in time. She's always been thirsty. You and I are always thirsty. We're always looking. Is this going to be my day? Is this going to be the day I'm finally going to make my breakthrough? That I'm finally going to be able to maintain that stability of life that I've been longing for? Will this be the Lenten season for me finally? That I'm going to overcome this habit? Jesus is fully aware. And he begins to engage and goes deeper. He wants something to drink. He doesn't have a bucket. What are you talking about? What is wrong with you? And as it comes down to what really is at the heart of the matter, what constitutes right worship of God, Jesus then begins to give what he wants to give to every single one of us. The abundance of living water. Eternal life. He wants to give her the ability to understand and to interact with God and with herself and others in spirit and in truth. In such a way, she would know everything necessary to not only know the way to worship God right, but to maintain that relationship. Particularly when life doesn't make sense. When you feel ostracized and alienated. People don't understand you. You don't even understand yourself sometimes. What is going on here? Go get your husband. Now we get to the heart of it. Jesus is proposing. After she discloses, I don't have a husband. You're right. You've had five, and the one you're with now is not. But will you marry me? The woman goes away. Look. Up to this point, what's happening? She's barely surviving. She's just trying to survive. But after this encounter with Jesus, this woman is living. How do we know that? She leaves the bucket. The very thing she went to the well for, she leaves it behind and she goes and tells this community everything. Hey, this could be the one. The people come. Hearing for themselves this word. They ask Jesus to stay with them. And he stays with them for 2 days. Why not three? Because it would be on the third day that he will accomplish the mission of consummating the marriage between humanity and divinity. Jesus is fully aware of our needs. Just as he's aware of this woman's need and her countrymen, he's aware of every single person in his need. We cannot lift ourselves up because of our sin. So God, descends, takes upon himself our human to such an extent that he even depends upon us to give him something to drink. And when Jesus slakes this woman's true thirst, what happens? He whets her appetite for more. She leaves the bucket behind. On this third Sunday of Lent, this is our challenge. Do we truly listen to Jesus? Do we take him at his word? Or do we just, for the time we're here, oh, that sounds good. Oh, that was clever. You see, our father said this. Oh, that was clever. Is that where we're at? Are we like the disciples who are engaging in conversation with themselves instead of being like this woman? Go to Jesus. Now, Jesus told her many things that she probably did not understand. But you know what? This woman was fully aware that he knew her better than she knew herself, more thoroughly than anybody she ever encountered before. And that was enough for her to put aside everything else in exchange for what was happening in that moment. She went and bore witness, and here we are today. So Jesus continues to ask, every time we gather, will you marry me? Now, I don't know your answer. I'm still trying to figure out mine. We're in a period of engagement, though. An engagement has been established a long time ago, since our first parents. Even though the relationship has become strained because of sin, it has not changed his feeling, his desire for us. He's not looking for something. He doesn't want something from you and I. He wants something for us. And in order for us to have that in its fullness, we have to be willing to lay down that which doesn't make any sense or that it's too much for us to handle, namely our sin. This is the same dialogue that happens every time a person is baptized at the well of the font. What name are you giving this child? What do you ask of God's church? And by the time all is said and done, what does God say? You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. So the third week of Lent is here. Have you even begun your resolution? Have I? Have you gotten rid of it? I don't know. What's going on? Hey, now is the time to start anew. God has not given up, never will he. He wants you and I to stay engaged so that by the end, by the time the third day comes, the marriage will truly be consummated on every level. God love you.